Hello, everybody. Welcome back to another long-awaited edition of the Red and Blue Podcast. Let's say it is March 5th, and we are back with a February review of the Premier League. But also, we have some Champions League discussion as well, because now one fixture of each of those has been played, one leg has been played, and now we have the second legs coming up next week, and then the week after that, to then decide the last eight teams going on to the quarterfinals for the Champions League. But before we get to that, obviously we have to talk about the Premier League first, just because it has been a month.
Yeah.
And a lot of stuff's been going on this past month in the Premier League. Most importantly, Liverpool finally lost.
Yeah, I think that's worth talking about for a second.
Liverpool lost to Watford. It was 3-0. Yeah.
Yeah, they got smacked. I was watching that game like, what the fuck?
Yeah, I've never heard of Ismail Assar, the young kid that was just scoring and getting right behind the defenders for Liverpool. But obviously, Troy Deeney, everyone knows him as like a good veteran striker. And if Watford were to get relegated this season, I think a lot of teams would be very interested in getting him as a striker in the top six, just because he is so reliable, and the fact that Watford wouldn't be able to afford him if they go into the Championship. So That's something that people don't realize, is that if you get relegated into the Championship, you lose the Premier League revenue, and that's a lot of money that helps keep a lot of these middle-tier teams able to afford pretty good players to keep them in the league.
Yeah, and when you're talking about, like, you know, teams that are at the bottom to mid of the table that really don't have the cash flow, like, those couple dollars that they save on a player really do matter. They can spread that out, you know, strengthen other parts of their team using that money and stuff.
And this was a big win for Watford, too. They lost three of their last four fixtures going into this, and to win, and now, right now, because of goal differential, they are safe and not getting relegated.
Yeah, but it's, like I was saying, it's just, like, it's tough because, yeah, if they, it was a big win, but, you know, you want to, they're right there, right at the cutoff, so you want to make sure that you don't get relegated, because you're going to have some major changes in your team if you do. But, yeah, they beat Liverpool. It was just an off night. I think Liverpool that week was kind of off. What was the game before that that they had barely won? Like, they had won, but they had to, like, squeeze out a win. I forget.
I believe it was West Ham.
Yes, it was West Ham, and that was it's fucking West Ham. And I remember watching
West Ham's fighting for relegation right now too.
Yeah, so it's like, and that exactly, they're fighting for relegation. So we know what it is. So I remember watching that, like, okay. And even Klopp said it. I remember watching the post match, and Klopp said it himself that the supporters really carried them through that match, and it was very obvious that they were just kind of draggy, kind of lackadaisical, kind of lethargic in how they were playing, but they still squeezed out the win. And I think that just continued on to the Wolves game, and then they just got spanked. And then because the Wolves, you know, this season they're not having a great Watford, excuse me, not the Wolves. I feel like in previous seasons they've been better. So, seeing them in the relegation area is kind of disappointing.
Yeah, them and West Ham back-to-back, because those teams are usually very much in the middle of the table.
Yeah, so it's kind of sad to see. But this was one of those nights, and that's why I love the Premier League, because at any given night, where they, you know, their quality really showed. So, shout out to them. In the grand scheme of things, it doesn't really matter. Liverpool's still winning the league. We know what this is.
Yeah, I mean, they struggled a little bit with Norwich earlier in the month, too, which was kind of interesting. They only won 1-0 against a team that is going to get relegated.
That's a fact.
And then they lost this past weekend in the FA Cup, so they won't get that elusive domestic treble that they were going for, but I'm sure they will settle for another Champions League and a Premier League title.
I don't know if they were going for the treble, but
exactly. So yeah. I think they would settle for, you know, the two biggest trophies you can win.
Right. I think, like I said at the beginning of the season, I think the most important thing for Liverpool this season, get the Premier League monkey off your back. You already won Champions. Those are the two biggest trophies in terms of club soccer in the world. So what? Who cares?
So I mean, Liverpool going forward, they still play Atletico coming up in their Champions League fixture, which we'll talk about later, but I mean, they already have the league wrapped up. Their next big fixture is against Man City in April, which we'll talk about at the end of March, probably heading into it. Realistically, Liverpool's sitting pretty. They just have to handle their business in Champions League, which, again, we'll talk about a little bit later. But obviously, Leicester's been struggling. They've lost two games in a row, which has really opened the door for Chelsea who's at 45 points, only 5 points behind, which at one point a lot of people didn't think it was possible for Leicester to concede third place, and now it seems like it is possible. Chelsea's really the only team that could catch them realistically. Manchester United and Wolves are at 42 points, 8 points behind, so I don't know if that's probably, at this point, that's probably too much to ask for either of those teams to gain 8 points on Leicester. So
I mean, they'd have to have a colossal meltdown.
But at the same time, you know, if Leicester drops enough points, then who knows? But realistically, Leicester still secured its spot, but they're definitely making it a lot more difficult on themselves than they need it to be, because right now they've lost two straight games, and they have to handle their own business against Aston Villa and Watford coming up, which, again, Watford, we've learned, can play up to the competition if they need to.
Yeah.
And they're playing, and they enjoy playing in the FA Cup and stuff like that. So they're, and they're playing Chelsea. So they don't have a tough schedule coming up. Again, they're not playing outside competition, so they really should be able to close this down. But that's going to be the most difficult thing, is can Leicester really get in the home stretch here, or are they going to be the team that ends up finishing fifth and being Europa League after being in third pretty much the entire season?
Yeah, that, like I said, that would be, it would just be so disappointing at that point if that were to happen, because they've had like a really good season comparatively to where they've been the past couple seasons after they won the league that 1 year. Was it 15?
It was 16? I believe it was 2016. 2015.
I was right. So yeah, they've kind of just been a little down since then, so this is their first, like, up year in a while, and every other team at the top of the table is pulling double duty, except for Wolves, I think. So
no, I think Wolves is in Europa League.
Oh, yeah, they are in Europa. Okay, so, yeah, everybody else is pulling double duty, except...
So, yeah, Wolves is in the round of 16, Europa coming up.
Okay, yeah, so they're the only ones not pulling double duty who's actually competing for a spot right now, so...
Well... Chelsea's competing.
So who's really competing? So yeah. I think that it'd be very disappointing if they were to end the season not in Champions League next year. So I feel like they really need to kind of buckle down, and these next couple matches will really show the mental fortitude while everyone else is, you know, playing double duty, worrying about other competitions. They're, you know, focus is only the Premier League. So, you know, it's going to be interesting to see what happens with them.
Right. And then the team chasing them, Chelsea, obviously, 45 points. They don't have a very difficult schedule coming up. We'll talk about their Champions League. But, I mean, they don't really have a lot of roadblocks right now in the Premier League coming up in the next month that would really, I think, prevent them from being able to secure a top four spot, especially with the players they have this season. I know they've had some stretches where they've just kind of worn down a little bit just because it is a younger team, but they do have some reinforcements, and I think they're a team that's going to trying to really be building some momentum going into next year when they're getting Hakim Ziyech coming over from Ajax.
Yeah.
And maybe possibly I've heard rumors that Alex Telles wants to go to Chelsea as well, which would really be a big upgrade over Marcus Alonso at this point, because Marcus Alonso is a liability as a left back.
Yeah.
So that would be really, so I think there's some optimism and there's some momentum going forward for Chelsea that if they can at least secure Champions League for next season, despite their Champions League stuff that's going on, I think they will at least have that positivity going into the year. But so it's really up to them at this point to see if they can not lose their fourth place spot. Cause right now they're at 45 points, but they're only 3 points ahead of Manchester United and Wolves.
Yeah.
So those two teams are very much in there for fourth, and we're not even factoring in the ban that was handed down to Manchester City, which we'll talk about in just a few minutes. But so those teams are all trying to fight for Champions League position, realistically.
Yeah. Yeah, I think the way it was, the season started, it was so, like, compact. I wasn't really sure how the season was going to end. But it's seeming like it's going to be a nice little race here at the end for these last couple Champions League spots. And even Europa spots. There's a nice, you know, the Wolves are competing. Tottenham's probably going to be looking for a Europa spot if they keep spiraling, which we'll get to in a second. I think it's going to be a nice little run to end the season here. Man United's been playing well. Let's just talk about Tottenham real quick, and then we'll get to our teams.
Yeah, with Tottenham, obviously, they have been, you know, kind of struggling with form recently. They'd won three straight, and then they've lost two straight against Chelsea and the Wolves, which are no bad losses, but then they had also lost their Champions League leg earlier on and then lost in the FA Cup on penalties to Norwich, who's a team that's going to get relegated this year.
That's a fact.
So Tottenham has been struggling and having their ebbs and flows with under Jose Mourinho, who it seems to be every team he goes to recently just has its ebbs and flows and is a little crazy in the way they do things. So I think for Tottenham, that's not even the biggest story. The fact that during the Norwich game that there was some racial slurs being aimed at Gelson. It's not Gelson Martin, but it's I forget his name. Gelson Fernandez, something like that. He's a new signing for the Spurs. He's a midfielder, and there was people yelling racial slurs at him. So Eric Dyer, who is a defense mid center back for the Spurs, ran up into the stands and really confronted a fan. Ron Artest, not as much Ron Artest style, because he didn't beat him with a shoe.
European style.
But they had to the police had to separate him, and he was standing up for his teammate, and Jose obviously had the press conference after where he said that obviously he doesn't condone what happened, but at the same time, he understood that when your teammate is having those things yelled at him, it's hard as a player to sometimes detach from that because you want to be there for your teammate, especially with the racism that's been happening. Widespread, or it's become at least more prevalent, public in the recent years in the different leagues, not just Italian league, which is known for widely, but also in the English league and the Spanish leagues. All the big leagues have racism that happens throughout them.
Yeah, I just thought that this incident, like, I don't know, I feel like we've, even on this podcast, we've had conversations about the whole racist problem that the world has, really. But so I don't even really want to get into that. I just think it's it's just another incident or another problem that I think Tottenham doesn't really need. You know, shout out to Eric Dyer, but I don't know what he really thought he was going to do. Like, it's not like a basketball stadium where, like, everyone is close. Like, this man had to run, like, a good 20 meters, like, to get up into the stands, off the field, past a bunch of people, and then by that time, the guy was already walking away, waving, like...
I was hoping he was going to get to him.
Yeah, he was... It was just... I'm like, I don't know...
I think he would have done something.
I really don't know what he thought he was going to do. Like, it was just not smart, and it was just, like, another thing, like, you know, that we can just add to the list when this Tottenham experience eventually crumbles under Jose Mourinho, like I called at the beginning. So I just wanted to point that out because I feel like, you know, good for Eric Dyer for backing up his teammate. If that's actually what happened, again, I haven't read into it. I know the initial reports were saying it was something about his brother. So I don't know all of what the fan was saying. Maybe it was a little bit of both. But I just think regardless, it's just not a good spot. Like, you just got embarrassed by Norwich. And then you want to go up into the stands. And then, you know, Jose has to deal with that on top of the fact that you're seventh in the league now. Sorry, Graham dropped his phone.
Yeah,
but, yeah, so it's like you're just dealing with all of these things. And I just think if you're a Tottenham fan, it's like kind of not a great time to be a fan, you know?
Yeah, I mean, they've been struggling along with that, and the struggling form is also the fact that they've just had so much stuff going on with players getting hurt as well. Obviously, they've had no Harry Kane and no Son, too, so that's been a struggle for them. So.
Oh, yeah, and everyone's hurt. We didn't even mention that.
Yeah, so really Tottenham's just had nothing really going for them recently, and they're going to have to really buckle up because they have a lot of decent opponents coming up here in the next month, including Manchester United. And West Ham's still feisty. They still have some talented players, along with Sheffield,
who's still kind of fighting for a spot.
Yeah, Sheffield's at 40 points. They're only 2 points behind Wolves and Manchester United. So
they're
tied to Tottenham.
Right, so they're still fighting for their spot. So there's a lot of movement that can happen here.
Yeah, so that Sheffield-Tottenham game is actually going to be huge.
Exactly. So I'm waiting for this utter collapse.
And that's why we like this end of the Premier League season.
Exactly.
Getting to see these teams, these upstart teams, like not like the Wolves, because the Wolves were good last year, but then like Sheffield come in and be able to really try to compete for these Europa League and Champions League spots right out the gate, because usually you see those teams just come in and they stay in the league for a few years, but it's been the last couple years we've got these exceptions of a couple championship teams just coming in and being able to be successful,
right?
Which is nice to see, because you don't see that very often. Usually it's been a lot of established, like Everton and West Ham and Arsenal's like the second tier powers.
And I think it's a testament to, you know, the quality that these teams have, because when it comes down to football and soccer and strategies per se, you know what I'm saying? Like, there's obviously players who are better than others that the big clubs are going to scoop up. But if you have, it's like the Popovich. If you have a great system, the sum of the parts can equal greater than individual talent that a team like, you know, whoever, a Man U, a Man City, a Liverpool might sign. You know what I'm saying? So I think that's the good thing that you get to see with these championship teams, because they're motivated. You know,
right.
If you're a Man U team, you know what it is. You're going to be in the league. You might make champions. You might not. We've been rebuilding every year, or we've been rebuilding since the beginning of the year. And not even just Man U, but just all these other teams, there's a standard, you know what I mean? So when you get these championship teams who come up and they're hungry, you really get to see the quality that these clubs have and just don't really get to show off because, you know, they're in a lower league. But these guys can play, and, you know, shout out Sheffield United for showing it.
Right. I'll be interested to watch. That game's the beginning of April, so we'll probably preview that game on their next podcast, but Tottenham definitely has their work cut out for them, and they have the chance to, they have games coming up here that could really swing the race for them to get into Champions League if they still want to. So they really got to buckle down coming down as well, because a lot of these teams really control their own destiny with a lot of the games coming up.
Right.
And then we got to talk about Manchester United.
Yes.
Because Manchester United have been playing throughout the month, and they are in fifth place at 42 points on goal differential over Wolves. Again, they're only 3 points behind Chelsea. And this weekend, we have the second derby of the season, where the first derby of the season went to, wasn't it Manchester United?
No.
Yes. Did 12-7, we? Manchester United 12.
Oh, we did win. I forgot. We did, yeah.
I'd say, to remember that matchup, it was 2-1 with Rashford scoring a penalty. Anthony Martial in the 29th minute. Otamendi tried to score in the 85th to bring it back, but they were not able to. As Manchester United won 2-1 over Manchester City. So it is a rematch. Hopefully Manchester City is able to come back and win. However, it is at Old Trafford, so that is going to be a difficult game. However, Man City right now are the more talented team, but again, you never know. It's going to be a fun, I think it'll be a fun derby, but despite that, Manchester United's looked really good in their Europa League and their recent English fixtures as well.
Yeah, I just, not too much to say, because I've been saying it all year. Man U fans, temper expectations. We're rebuilding. But this month has been very good for Man U, I will say that. We played well. We've started to, I want to say, hit our stride under Ollie's system. And I want to say, shout out to, of all people, Bruno Hernandez.
Fernandez, excuse me.
Not Hernandez.
Bruno Fernandez.
I'm thinking, yeah, Chicharito.
The new signing from Sporting in Portugal.
Yes, and he has really, I don't know what it is, but he's really just invigorated the team.
He's
and,
good, man.
And really, really just, I don't know, everybody's playing really well. And the commentators have been saying it, and I don't want to really put that on one person, but, you know, it's a testament to how some people can sway a locker room, you know? And I really think that, and it could be coincidence that we just happen to be hitting our stride under Ollie this month. Who knows? But regardless of what it is, we've been playing really well. We've had some really good fixtures. And yeah, I'm happy that we're showing improvement. You know, now we're, you know, the expectations are starting to come in, because it's looking like we might have a chance to make champions next year, which would really help if we want to sign anybody in the summer. Right. So that's cool. Again, I still think that this is the type of rebuild that takes time, especially with Pogba not being out the building yet. I think that needs to get settled before anything.
Yeah, I think we've realized now that Fernandez is going to be the one that is kind of leading the midfield going forward. And Pogba is going to be someone that they could sell either just for cash to go towards a new player, or they could swap in a deal potentially. I know Juventus has been a rumor potentially him going back. I'm sure Real Madrid and Barcelona would throw their hat into
also
the
ring. Also, shout out the Nigerian kid we signed. I forget his name.
Crap.
But he's been scoring like crazy. Young kid, but he's really good. So I just think
Agalu.
Yes, Agalu. So shout out my Nigerian brother. So
things like this, these little signings that we've made that aren't really too flashy, but they're showing promise. I think these are the things that are really, you know, bearing fruit under Ollie. You know, these are the rebuild has been legit all year, but now we're starting to see, you know, we're in fifth place. We're starting to see some fruits of our labor. So I think it's exciting. Like I said earlier, the end of the season is going to be really, it's going to be a little race here for champions, especially not knowing what's going to happen with Man City, which we'll get into in a sec. You know, their spot might get taken up by another team. You know what I mean? So it could be fifth, sixth, and seventh.
You guys are also in the round of 16 in Europa as well. So that could be a chance for you guys to move into the quarterfinals of that to maybe just get an automatic Champions League.
Right. And then Europa's obviously still on the table. You're not
playing any hard teams yet.
Right, right. And Europa's still on the table. So this, you know, we could get a couple trophies this year too. And I was just about to say, and we're doing well in the FA Cup. We're about to play Norwich, ironically. Watch them beat us.
Yeah. The Giant Slayer.
Right. I think we could potentially, you know, come out of this rebuild year with a couple trophies, which I think would be great. So
I say, if you got a trophy and a Champions League place, that's pretty good.
That's a pretty good season for a rebuild. So I think Man U is in a really good spot right now. Hopefully we can continue this momentum into the end of the season and into our other competitions. Because like Graham said, ideally you would want to just win Europa, get that automatic berth, and fuck whatever happens in Premier League.
Yeah, because then you know, because then it's you've controlled your own destiny. You already know you're going to make it. At that point, you're just going for placement. Because right. Then it could also matter in terms of the money you get and the revenue, because right. The revenue does get split differently depending right. On where you finish. So
and that could also give Ollie maybe more freedom to kind of experiment a little more. I mean, that's basically what we've been doing all season. But since we're kind of in the running now, if we already have a Champions League berth, then maybe, you know, the last couple games of the season, I don't know when the final for the Europa is in terms of when the season ends, but I'm pretty sure there are a couple.
A little bit afterward, I think.
Yeah.
And they play Leicester to end the season, which is a long way away in May, but if those teams maintain in their similar places, that could be a battle for fourth place if Leicester continues to struggle.
Right. So there's a lot of, I guess what I'm saying is that we can use some of the games if we've already clinched, if it works out schedule-wise, to kind of tune up and just kind of see what we want to do lineup-wise before, you know, hopefully we go into the summer and sign some more people. So, you know, yeah, it's been pretty good for Man U this month. Man U fans, keep your head up. You know, hopefully we can go into the end of the year with some wins, get a trophy or two, and make champions next year.
Well,
so getting into Man City.
Speaking of teams that may not be in Champions League next year.
Yeah,
we got to talk Man City, because since we've been gone, obviously a lot of big stuff has happened with Manchester City, most notably the ban handed down by UEFA because of the financial fair play policy that they enforce, saying that we had just poured too much money into the team without sending money out. So because of that, they had sent down a $30 million ban and 2 years ban from the Champions League.
Damn. And
at one point, there was even talk that they might try to put Man City in League Two, but that talk has died down significantly. I don't think Premier League is gonna drop Manchester City down to League Two.
Yeah, no, that's insane.
Well, may they strip a title? They might. They might strip the 2014 title, because it happened between 2012 and 2016 during this stuff happened. Again, I don't know why it took them this long to figure it out. I'm a fan of Manchester City, and I'm surprised it took this long for them to say anything.
Yeah, because when it, and that's what we talked about, like, off mic when it happened, was that I remember rumblings of this went, like, during that 2014-15 run that y'all had, and just, it really died down the past, like, what, 4 years? And then all of a sudden, here's this heavy-handed ban from UEFA. It's just like, well, where the fuck did this come from? Like,
and think about it, a lot of that wasn't Pep at first. It was 2016 was his first year, and then, yeah, he spent that first summer on Leroy Sané and Ilkay Gundogan and Gabriel Jesus. Then the next year, he brought in a couple more players to fill out his team. So, obviously, he spent some money, but he never had, like, these $70, $80 million transfers. I think the highest they paid still was only, like, that $50 million they paid for Riyad Mahrez.
Yeah, I think it was just the amount of
So they did get a lot of different players, like Gabriel Jesus, and obviously they have to keep paying players like Kevin De Bruyne and David Silva and Sergio Aguero, so they're going to have a lot of different bills, but at the same time, a 2-year ban from the Champions League could be huge, because that could really limit the players that you have on the team, and it could force Manchester City, because of financial fair play, to sell some of their biggest players.
Yeah.
Hopefully that doesn't mean they would sell, like, Kevin De Bruyne. I don't think they would sell De Bruyne, but he is the most valuable player on the team. He probably would fetch $150 to $180 million.
Easily.
Just because, and I don't think, and I think Man City would be crushed if we had to get rid of him, because he literally is the engine for our team. He's the person that creates a lot of our offense. He's the person that can score goals really from outside the box, along with making good runs. He's a strong enough defensive player in the midfield to sit back sometimes, but also move forward. So, and he's a core person on our team. He's been on the team since they've started winning the titles back when he came over from Wolfsburg. So losing him would be a big deal, because we're going to be losing David Silva after this season, and potentially Fernandinho down the road. So that last remaining core of those teams that really succeeded and won those Premier League titles back in those days, really when this stuff was happening, that those players are starting to fade away as well, because Gabriel Jesus is starting to get more playing time because of his play. And that's been the plan. That was supposed to be the plan all along, is eventually Sergio Aguero and him would split time. But Aguero is just legendary in the way he scores. I mean, he did pass, I forget who he passed for the most, I think it was Didier Drogba for the most goals by a foreign player of all time in the Premier League, so that's pretty impressive. But Manchester City is facing a 2-year ban, which means that a team in the Premier League that's in finishing fifth would finish, everyone would slot up one space, so the team that finished in the Europa League top spot would go to Champions League, fifth would go to fourth, sixth would go to fifth, et cetera, et cetera. So it would shift both the money from the Premier League winnings, because Manchester United might not get awarded some of those things, so it would affect that money revenue, and also it would affect the ability to compete in Champions League, which is a lot of branding and sponsorships, and that really helps fund the team and helps pay
TV deals. The
team. Yeah, TV deals. Like, that really helps fund Manchester City, because we are such a notable team in the world that it makes it really difficult if we lose a lot of that revenue for a couple years. It wouldn't cripple us, but it would make it hard for us to keep all the players we have currently, especially without Champions League.
Which is the real issue here, is how do these players feel about being on a team, which is basically, as it stands currently, going to be in limbo for 2 years in the biggest competition in Europe.
I guess they'd have to...
I don't know how they feel about that. I don't know. That's a locker room thing.
I guess they'd have to be okay with playing in the Premier League and just trying to win it out.
Has there been any articles about how the team feels?
I mean, I think they trust the management above them. They trust the director of football operations. I don't know how to pronounce his name, so I don't want to try to butcher it. But yeah. Pep's guy from Barcelona. I trust Pep in their decision-making, and Pep trusts the people above us.
Yeah.
So I trust that they are working as hard as they can to make this to get this decision figured out. And realistically, it's... If you think about some of the stuff they're doing, they were charged with just spending money on the team. Realistically, why are they not allowed to spend money on the team? And also, if they want to bring up an argument, I know this isn't an argument for them to immediately get expunged, but PSG, Paris Saint-Germain, had a financial fair play thing where they signed Neymar and Kylian Mbappe in back-to-back seasons for like $150 million each, and that's something that raised red flags, and they just did nothing about it. They swept it right under the rug, because apparently they might have been bribed by a PSG official. UEFA did. So that could be a problem, to where they might be able to arbitrate and maybe get it from 2 years to one. I think that could be a big difference, because I think these players could go 1 year without Champions League, but going multiple years would be really difficult for these world-class players, like, you know, a Aymeric Laporte or an Ederson or Sergio Aguero.
Yeah. You want to know what it is? It's because PSG is ass. If PSG was good, UEFA probably...
Man City hasn't done much better in Champions League. What are you talking about?
I guess that's true. You guys haven't done much better.
We just lose to every Premier League team that we play.
Yeah.
By the way, if we make it through in Champions League, which we're going to talk about, if we make it through and we play a Premier League team, I'm going to lose my mind.
I will laugh.
Because it's just a running thing on this podcast now. Because in the entirety of when we've done this podcast, we've seen two Champions League things that we've talked about where Man City has played a Premier League team and been thrashed both times.
Every time.
And if this is our last Champions League for 2 years, I'm really just don't want to deal with this bullshit, to be honest with you.
Oh, please play a Premier League team.
But, I mean, at least Man City's been playing well recently. They did beat Leicester in their game during February. They beat West Ham. They did lose to Tottenham at the beginning of the month, which was truly disgraceful, but I don't want to talk about that game. But they did win the EFL Cup this past weekend against Aston Villa. Yeah. Yay! The Carabao Cup, as they call it now. So they won a trophy, and they beat Sheffield Wednesday. I didn't know that was a real team. I thought that was a fake name. But in the FA Cup, so... And then this coming up this weekend, like we talked about, they're playing Manchester United at Old Trafford. That'll be a really fun game. They play Arsenal, so they get to play Mikel Arteta. And then they'll be playing their Champions League game on the 17th against Real Madrid. So it's going to be an interesting stretch here coming up for Man City because... I mean, they're going to probably finish Champions League placement, but we'll see how it goes in terms of their long-term aspects.
Right.
But, yeah, I mean, Manchester City has stuff they have to worry about, but, I mean, the Premier League has been really exciting going into February, through February and going into March, because now with it really going into the home stretch, we're seeing people just jockeying, really, positions 3 through 8.
Yeah.
Which is really nice to see, because after Manchester City and Liverpool, it's been nice... In the last couple of years, it's just been really dry in terms of competition.
Right.
So we are going to talk about Champions League, but first we are just going to take a quick break. And we are back. We have to talk about the Champions League, obviously, because we had those played over the last couple of weeks. And the first ones were really interesting to watch and honestly were probably not the things everyone expected. Heading into the Champions League round of 16, because we had some really high-profile matchups, and the underdog, or you could say the, I guess the underdog, yeah.
Basically underdogs.
But there's some good teams that are underdogs in here that came out victorious. For instance, Atletico won 1-0 over Liverpool, so they're 1-0 up going into the second leg, which would be not a massive upset because of how good Atletico is as a team, but it would be an upset because Liverpool is the defending Champions League champs, and they are dominating this season. So
right, another one I would say is the Dortmund PSG game. What's that? What's the wonder kid's name?
Haaland
fucking
keeps... Erling Haaland.
This man is a fucking beast. We already know at this point he's had his coming out party.
He might not stay at Dortmund for very long.
No.
I'd say Real Madrid might snatch him up like this summer.
He's about to get snatched up so quick because he's such a beast. And I probably would have considered them the underdog going into this matchup. And they came out on top against PSG, so that's just another one.
They just have such a stacked team because they have the veteran and Matt Hummels in the backfield along with, you know, Axel Witsel and Chan and Hakimi coming over from Real Madrid. Plus they have Jadon Sancho along with Haaland. It's just such a deadly combo. Of course, PSG is deadly too. They have Mbappe and Neymar, who did score in the game, but you know, without really anyone else creating for them, it's been kind of an issue.
What kind of fucking... Why are they running this?
I don't think this is really the true formation that they are running.
But, I'm like, this formation looks crazy.
But the players... the players that the PSG has, I mean, they have enough talent. I mean, they do have really good center backs, and they're... And Gaye and Meunier are really good for them, but they really got to step it up coming up against Dortmund because Dortmund's been always a really good team in Champions League that, if they get the right draw, could really go deep into the tournament.
That's a fact.
I think they're the team that everyone knows about, but people just kind of sleep on all the time just because they are not, they're not Bayern, but they are a really good young team this year, and they're good program for developing a lot of talent. So
and I think that's the biggest thing that I take away from Dortmund is the talent that they've developed over the years. You know, a lot of it's gotten pilfered, which is what happens.
I mean, they had Lewandowski at one point.
Yeah, exactly. And they again, shout out him because they were instrumental in switching him from a defender. I'm pretty sure he played defense earlier in his career to more of an offensive player. So it's just things like this where it's like you see this over and over and over with this Dortmund team where they just are able to develop talent and pick the right people, the right young people to come in and really showcase their talents. It's kind of crazy.
Yeah, I mean, Jadon Sancho and Christian Pulisic, who's moved to Chelsea since, have really been the biggest examples. But now with Erling Haaland coming in from Leipzig and really he's staying in the same league, but he's performing at a high level in the Champions League while his team is actually still performing well too because Leipzig won 1-0 against Tottenham.
Yeah.
So it's kind of funny to see as he dominates PSG, Leipzig is winning 1-0 and they're able to advance or potentially advance against Tottenham, a team that was in the Champions League final last year.
Right.
So, but I mean, I really want to see that Dortmund-PSG second leg. That's going to be a really fun second leg.
A lot of these second legs are about to be very interesting.
Yeah, I mean, the only ones that really are decided are Atalanta, a really good Italian team who won 4-1 against Valencia. They're going to go through to the final eight. And then Bayern versus Chelsea. Yeah, so that's why when I said earlier Chelsea was competing, I made air quotes. If only we had videos. Coming soon.
But
but Chelsea's not competing for Champions League. They're down 3-0. Even though Lewandowski's out for 4 weeks, I think you could put me and Olam out there and we could hold a 3-0 lead against that team.
Did you see the red card that they got? I'm pretty sure it was a handball, I want to say.
Marcus Alonso, not surprising. He gets a lot of those.
And it was just like the most I'm like, what are you doing? Like, oh man. Shout out Chelsea.
Yeah, I mean, Bayern still has plenty of strength. They still have Serge Gnabry. They still have Javi Martinez. They still have all these really good midfielders and wingers. They'll be fine. Yeah. Alphonso Davies has been really good for them, the young kid, Canadian kid. But, yeah, those are really the only ones that have been decided. But like we said, Leipzig is up 1-0 on Tottenham. Barcelona. Leon. Yeah, and Leon. Leon shocked Juventus 1-0 in the first game with shutting out Ronaldo and having a 1-0 lead going into their game in Italy. So that's going to be interesting because on top of that, with the coronavirus happening, actually, the Italian sport events for the next month have no fans. So there's going to be a Champions League game played without any fans.
No fans. That's going to be the weirdest game broadcast of all time.
I think I'm going to have to, like, pump some sound into my, like, into my setup.
I'm going to have to watch it on mute because that's going to be too weird. Like,
I'm going to have to, like, pump some, like, crowd noise into my setup.
Just play FIFA while it's
just
going.
Just have some white noise, like, yeah!
Because that's going to be so weird. Oh, wow.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see how Lyon and Juventus handle that situation, but also how Lyon handles Juventus in the second leg, because obviously they have Cristiano Ronaldo and a lot of other talented players. Paulo Dybala, if he comes in, can always have a spark, and their defense is really good, led by Cellini and De Ligt and all these amazing center backs they have, with Alexandro at left back. They have a good team.
Very good team.
Juventus can certainly come back against Lyon, but Lyon has a lot of good young players as well, and they're a team in recent years as in France that has been making a lot of waves, having players leave because they were so good. Like Ferland Mendy for going to Real Madrid as the left back was a Lyon player.
Right. And it's like, I feel like there hasn't really been a standout, I want to say, Cinderella story yet. Maybe it's Atalanta. Who knows?
Maybe it's Lyon.
Maybe
it's Leipzig.
It could be Leipzig, which would be crazy if Leipzig and Dortmund get through.
I mean, realistically right now, if the things happened the way they did in the first leg, you'd have Atalanta, Leipzig, and Lyon going through, which would be things you would not expected going into. If you told me at the beginning of the Champions League that those three teams would be three of the last eight teams,
I would have laughed.
Because if that happens, that makes it a lot more favorable for the big teams that make it through, like, you know, the Bayerns going in, and whoever wins out of that Atletico Madrid-Liverpool and Dortmund-PSG games, and the Man City-Real Madrid fixture are going to dodge bullets.
Because this is we've been doing this for a while, so you can check our track record, but I'll always say this around Champions League. This is in the early stages, this is when the Cinderella teams can win. This is when they have their breakout, you know, games, you know? But it gets to a certain point where real talent is what wins the Champions League, you know? Very, very seldom is a Cinderella story like that going to win out over these big, talented teams. So, you know,
they have to be, like, very talented teams like the Ajax team last year.
Very, like, generational talent that you just happen to catch on your team at the right time.
Yeah.
Now, the odds of that happening are very low, so it's like, just going forward, do I really think these teams are going to be the ones to pull it through? No, but it's very interesting right now how balanced these legs have been. You know, we'll see going into the next leg and the next round.
I mean, Leipzig has the best chance out of them because they did their business at Tottenham, so they're going to be at home with a 1-0 lead.
I mean, they have the best chance because they're playing Tottenham.
That's true.
let's keep it a bean, but you know, and Bayern, but they already took.
We haven't even talked about the Barcelona-Napoli fixture because Barcelona-Napoli tied 1-1, so they're basically just going to the Camp Nou, and going in to really see what's going to happen between Napoli, an established Italian team at this point in Champions League, and Barcelona, who's known to choke in said competition.
Super choking. And that's why this is interesting, because we've seen Juventus can solidify their state as chokers this season if they lose to Lyon. If PSG loses again, they've been chokers for the past 5 years. And then Barcelona can solidify themselves as chokers. So this is a very, like I said, this next leg is going to be very interesting, because if we have some of these quote-unquote underdogs, it's Champions League, so everyone's talented, but you know what I'm saying. If we have some of these quote-unquote underdogs knocking out some of the big boys, it could get very interesting.
Yeah, and the same thing with Man City against Real Madrid. Man City came back at the very end of that game where Real Madrid really controlled a lot of that game. And Man City wasn't playing terribly, but Madrid was kind of controlling the tempo of the game. Zinedine Zidane's boys really had the tempo of the game, and they scored with the mistake made by our defense, which I'm going to say again, is if we lose in the Champions League, that's going to be the reason why. It's not going to be because of our goals, because we can score. And obviously we showed that, because Kevin De Bruyne made a beautiful run going into the game, and he was able to get a nice little chipped header over to Gabriel Jesus, who started the game, surprisingly, instead of Aguero. But he had the header past Thibaut Courtois, an old friend from Chelsea. And they had that happen, and then, of course, they had the penalty, and De Bruyne comes in, and he just buries the penalty, and all of a sudden Manchester City's up 2-1, coming back at home to play, which is a big deal, because now they're up 2-1 and they scored 2 away goals. So that's going to be something that is going to be very interesting to see, because now they have that extra advantage of if it's a tie game, then they still get it on away goals.
Yeah, that could be a really good match.
Yeah, I mean, I think Man City and Real Madrid match up really well together. I think a lot of their strengths are very complementary, yep, because they both have strong midfields up. And they both have really good attacking options. It's just, and the defenses have talent on them, but there's just times where they have lapses in judgment,
right,
where sometimes Rafael Varane or one of the other center backs for Real Madrid maybe make a mistake, or the right backs are too far up the pitch. You know, things like that happen when you play an aggressive style of football, which both of these teams do play.
Right.
So I think my favorite fixtures are definitely going to be the Liverpool-Atletico fixture. I think that's going to be really fascinating, because you never count out Liverpool, because they are the champs and Jurgen Klopp's the best manager in the world. But Diego Simeone's a really good manager in his own right. And this Atletico team been in big games in the past.
And this is another matchup that really matches up really well. Liverpool and Atletico match up really well. They're constructed very similarly. And I think, and the great thing about that first match was watching what's his name? Simeone? I don't want to say that wrong.
Yeah.
And Klopp go at each other, because their strategies are very, very similar. The way they construct their team, and the way they lead their teams from front to back. I always talk about, you know, from the goalkeeper to the defense, all the way forward, midfield to the forwards. It's very similar in how they play. So it was very interesting to see that first match. And, you know, Liverpool going home, I still think they're the best team in the world. It's going to be very, very interesting to see that. So I agree with you on that.
Hold on.
Yeah, exactly. So I agree with you on that. And I also want to say that I think I might buy some Dortmund stock.
That Dortmund PSG game is going
to
be fun.
It's going to be very, very fun. I'm very excited to see what this Dortmund team can do against a PSG team that has their back against the wall for the upteenth time, you know. How many times have we seen, like I just said, PSG choke in the Champions? So they're really due to, you know, win.
Yeah, Dortmund is, I think Dortmund could be the team that maybe makes a run to a surprise semifinals run, that people were just like, okay, I knew they were pretty good, but not this good. Erling Haaland has like 10 goals in the Champions League, right. And it's like, okay, well, now we have to take this team seriously, whoever gets them in the semifinals. But obviously we're going to be covering the Champions League in the second legs when they happen. Once the second legs are over, we'll come back with like a mini Champions League episode and a little bit of an update in Premier League, but mostly just talk about the Champions League legs in depth, and also just discuss the teams that are left and kind of figure out what happens. Probably once the draws happen, we'll figure it out. So we'll figure it out as it comes along.
Well, definitely, probably, I want to say a couple weeks, whenever the second legs happen, we'll come back, give you all an update, and then come back with some Premier League after that, wrap up the season, guys. And then head into an interesting summer.
Yeah, I'd say we do have Euros this summer, so we'll be still here in the summer covering the Euro Cup as all the teams are qualifying, getting ready to try to get that next prestigious crown, because that's second behind the World Cup.
Right.
But obviously we'll be back soon. make sure you check out the Tree City Street Team, treecityrecords.com for all of your things. Obviously, we also have gaming as well, Tree City Gaming.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. We appreciate everybody listens to the podcast. As always, treecityrecords.com. Join the Street Team. Get updates on everything we do. We've really been trying to flesh out the Tree City Gaming side of it. You guys should definitely check out the Fire Team Fire Pack podcast. We're about to record a new episode right now. So definitely check for that on all streaming platforms. Red and Blue, obviously, like we said, we'll come back in a couple weeks. Tree City Sports Podcast. We'll be back in
a week or two, yeah.
Is going to be coming with a new episode, so check out for that.
Actually, and we have the episode up on Monday, this past Monday, if you guys haven't listened to it.
So, yeah, so definitely go check.
The Cavs with John Beilein, the incident being fired. Then we had talked a little bit about the Browns as they head into free agency.
For sure. So definitely check that out. It's out now on all streaming platforms.
Yes.
And music as well. Biggs just dropped a new single. Sheesh. So definitely go check that out. And yeah, man, we appreciate y'all as usual, man. We'll catch y'all in a couple weeks.
Peace.